Money and success in dating, they are great secondary goals, but they're more a reflection of who you are energetically rather than ambitions to set in and of themselves. That's what I found. When it comes to making money, you want to create a torrential storm of movement. You want to create a vibe. Don't worry about some particular result. Know that you have an aim. Know that there's something that you want to work towards, something that is your North Star. But look at goals when it comes to money and dating. Look at them indirectly. Ask yourself, what kind of torrential storm do I want to create? Who do I want to be energetically? What's my vibe to get this result? Here's an example. You want to be successful as a salesman. You want to close a bunch of sales. Well, the first thing to figure out is, can I get on sales calls with potential clients regularly? You don't need to necessarily even succeed or to have the perfect script or anything like that. What you want more than anything is to reliably in your calendar, in your schedule, be talking to prospects. You just have a process where there's outreach, prospects, all this stuff. You want it to be a reliable part of your calendar, a part of your system. Let's say you want success as an actor. What you want then, not necessarily, is to book the biggest job of your life, okay? In fact, if you book that role before you're ready for it, it might just stress you out. It might make you feel kind of weird, or you might just botch it. Like, there's stories of actors who have shown up on set for a big movie, such as Stuart Townsend, who was the original casting as Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. You show up to that environment, and then he was dropped after 3 or 4 days on set because Peter Jackson ultimately decided that he didn't want to go with this person. Instead, as an actor, you want to reliably have a relationship with your agent.
Nice jacket. Did you steal it from a high schooler?
Or if you don't have one, just to know who the agents are and to consistently be reaching out to them. You want to be shooting on camera. You need to have a crew of actors who you're talking to and collaborating with regularly. Maybe you're making some of your own stuff. If an audition comes in for Netflix or HBO, it doesn't dissuade you. It doesn't alarm you. It's actually nothing in particular. An audition came in. It's just something you do. Before you become excellent at that thing, you want it to be something that you do, like regularly. What you want, first and foremost, is to understand the context of the storm you're trying to create. You see, there is an energy of money. There's an energy to you being familiar with the context of the endeavor that you're taking on. And if you can create comfort and familiarity in an unfamiliar environment, if you became a sales director, but it doesn't tax your system to take the meeting, to take on that prospect. If you're a real estate agent and you have nothing in your pipeline, but you know, hey, if I take certain actions, if I make an Instagram reel promoting this house, if I do all this stuff, if I cold call my network and beyond, I can more or less know, I can more or less trust that things are going to happen. If you can create a relationship with the environment of the work that you're in, suddenly there is no fear. There is nothing to worry about. And the endeavors that you take on will have tremendous momentum. So in this video, I want to talk more deeply about the energy of money and the energy of money that applies to different contexts of your life. If you can form a relationship with the environment in the industry that you are trying to get success in, and if you can have the patience and the gumption to stick with it for a long time, like 3 to 10 years, then you will find a comfort despite the uncertainty. You will find a confidence in your execution. You will find an inner excellence, and the industry will start to move. You'll be the person who creates the storm. And in this video, we're gonna talk about how. The first idea in the video is this: you have to create a storm. Establish a calendar you think you can barely achieve, then role play its success. One of the most profound lessons from swimming that I learned was that one can simply pretend to be a swimmer. And if you have abs, if you have that swimmer's V-taper physique, and if you're wearing swim buoyancy shorts, goggles, a swim cap, even if you have underwater headphones, stuff like that, you basically will come across as a swimmer. It will not occur to anyone that you are not a swimmer. You'll be a swimmer. In fact, I was at the pool just this last week, and this older guy, he said, he looks like a swimmer. And then the other guy, who's actually a swim coach, said, until he gets in the pool. And then they both laughed and they shook my hand. What does that mean? I am actually a beginner to intermediate swimmer, even though I've put in like several hundred hours into swimming effort by now. But in that environment, you know, at 11 a.m. at Lifetime Swim at the pool, I'm the only one who sort of looks like me. Just the conviction to put in lap after lap after lap. Whereas most people at the pool, you know, it's just kind of like a older person activity, at least on a weekday. There aren't a lot of people on a random weekday morning who are swimming very seriously, quickly, with intent, interval repeats in the water, and stuff like that. So in that environment, unless you're a swim coach, I fully look like the real thing. so many other seasons of my life, I would put on the leather gloves and get on the motorcycle. I take on these different endeavors. And as I am doing the thing, on the inside, it feels like I'm not this thing. Kind of like I'm like LARPing. I'm role playing this thing right now. But in actuality, it seems like I do this thing all the time. In the universe of acting, this is really how the British would actually embody a new character. You say, like, how does this character move? What did they dress like? What is their physicality? How do they take up space? And you can do this process. Essentially, we can call it LARPing. We could call it role-playing. You can do it with your entire calendar. And what I found is that if you can do it consistently for a week, you really start to become the thing. We've all heard the context of visualization and how powerful it is. There's even been stories of pianists during the Holocaust who haven't been able to, like, interact with their instruments during the entire time that they're imprisoned. And yet one of them would visualize playing the piano. He would mentally rehearse playing those songs. And he found that once he was liberated from those camps, he went back to his music and, like, the CNS, the nervous system, was able to remember and recall and keep that musicality in his fingers. He never lost it because his mind was practicing it every day, even though in concrete examples, he didn't have access to a piano. Now, if you actually do have access to the environment that you're engaging with, your identity will very quickly begin to change into being this thing. You know, it shows up in so many different regards. But if you don't feel like a killer, like you don't feel like you're someone who gets after it, who gets the thing done, you don't feel proud of yourself in your endeavors, what you could effectively do is start to get up at 5 or 6 a.m. and just go out and go for a run or meditate. You know, some of these ambitions or habits that are sort of morning routine-y, they're very useful for someone who doesn't believe in themselves. I had to use this sort of thing in many seasons of my life. In younger years, 24, living in Los Angeles, unemployed, in between jobs, I would sometimes challenge myself with stuff like this. I would wake up at 5 or 6 a.m., I would go for a run, and then it'd be like, okay, it's 5 or 6 a.m., I went for a run, what did I achieve, what did I do? Well, nothing at all. But also, it's hard to feel like a total loser if you woke up at 5 and you went for a run. Will that by in and of itself make you successful? No. But you can create the calendar of a winner from the get-go and start to live it, and it'll start to impact your mind, and it'll create a lot of safety. It'll create a lot of trust. So ask yourself, who do I want to be? And in this character, this person that I want to take on, I want to be a winner, I want to be a killer, I want to be a pinnacle of industry in this endeavor that I'm in. What does that look like if I was pro level, if I took it on full time? You can do it with anything. Do you want to be a professional triathlete? What does a pro's schedule look like? You want to be a salesman? How does a pro salesman, what would he do? If I downloaded the mind of Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was 23 and he woke up in my position, how would he behave if he was given my environment? And what would he do? Would he go to Hennepin Technical College right here and start taking classes, some technical skill? Would he get his real estate license? Maybe he would. Would he start reaching out to local agents? Perhaps. What would that schedule look like? Would he still manage to work out 4 hours a day and go on a date? If he's Arnold, he absolutely would. You can start to do this for yourself. I know when you're down on your luck, or you're trying to be in a season of money, of industry, of getting things done, it's very easy to fall into that existential dread. It's very easy to start to give up. But a great way to bounce out of that, to get rid of that fear, is to give yourself the schedule of a winner and then try to live it. Now, this is hard. You may need to ramp up. You may make mistakes. You know, you might think you might be able to do a scripting session at 5 p.m., whereas in actuality, you're completely taxed, or certain parts of your calendar take longer than others, or you forget that you leave time to get groceries or whatnot. But simply ask yourself, hey, I want to be the best car salesman in the world. You know, on a random Tuesday morning, what would that car salesman do? What would his desk look like? What does his phone look like? What does his relationship look like with his phone? You know, our relationship with our cell phones is an entire universe in and of itself. The amount of times you log into Instagram, Facebook, or that random self-improvement blog that you consume that actually doesn't do anything, it just gets in the way. This constant thing. Well, if I was a total killer, what would my mind feel like? Genuinely, I now have been meditating every single day for the last 30 days, ever since I got back from Ironman 73 La Quinta Indian Wells. And slowly but surely, the mind is being transformed. I realized that I was frustrated all the time. I was a little cell phone addict. And these habits, they're beginning to change. There's peace, there's relaxation. Slowly but surely, it is starting to kick in. And the reason I even started to meditate first thing every morning after waking up, after embodying this new schedule, after doing this new thing, it was just an act of pretending. So that's the first idea here. Create a storm. Create a calendar that's crazy. You know, you want to be a top salesman, right? Maybe one of your things that you come up with is that this guy, he wakes up at like 7 a.m., immediately goes to a coffee shop, and before he does anything else, he literally does outreach for the next 3 hours. He sends 100 emails. He makes like 20 to 30 calls. He updates his CRM. He reaches out to a bunch of prospects. He gets on the phone. He cold calls people. People tell him to F off, and he lets go. He doesn't care. Why? Because he's a top salesman, and a top salesman wouldn't care if he was rejected or not. And then after 3 hours of work, he's a little bit taxed. Maybe he eats a couple eggs and hits a Lyft. After that, maybe he takes a nap, just because, you know, just because the mind needs a reset. And then maybe in the afternoon, he does managerial stuff, or he updates his skills, or he takes meetings. He takes appointments that he had set in the morning, and he continues on like that. Set this ambition, set this agenda with anything that you're working on. And this is important. The first month, it's going to feel fake. It's not going to feel right. But eventually, you will get to a point where you actually start living this thing that you were describing in your mind. Like, you start doing it fully. You start doing it for real. And in some aspect, at some point, you will slip from a fake LARPy type performance to actually becoming the real thing. And when you become the thing for real, that is when the results come. Idea number two, listen to intuition in every moment. Steven Spielberg once said, the universe whispers. The universe whispers what you want to do. Now, from my background as an Indian American, I come from two different philosophies of result. The Indian way and the American way. And in fact, both spirituality and productivity apply to both. But the Indian immigrant way of coming up in the world employs logic. It's all about logic. It's about doing the logical thing. Become a doctor. Become an engineer. Do things that have a guaranteed ROI and don't embody any risk. In fact, the best way to do this is be an employee and be told what to do and do it diligently and do it well. In the West, perhaps the immigrant mentality does not respect enough intuition. See, you'll get to 100 grand a year through logic. But if you ever want to get to $1 million a year and beyond, from everyone I've heard, even my father, who I asked this last week, I said, what would it take to get to $1 million a year? He said, you have to listen to intuition. You have to be connected. Without that, those quantum leaps do not come. And this is feedback I got from the most logical person I know. Intuition. If you stay on the right side of it, you will find that intuition is speaking to you at every moment. So stay incredibly present and see where that gets you. The moment you're in right now, it will tell you, I should email this person. I should take this next task. If I perform this next lift, I'll be able to take on that next endeavor. I'll be able to get this thing done. Oh, I can post this on Instagram. I should put up this story now. I should reach out to this prospect. It will tell you. It will tell you how to proceed. So have that openness. Have that openness to listen to intuition. Ideally, I have found, as someone who's invoked both logic and sort of like that super conscious mind type hunch, you need both. For a while there, I was only listening to logic. So I was making $40,000 a year as a teacher. Then I was in a mix of both logic and intuition. And I think that's where my, you know, career, my financial life was doing the absolute best. And then for a period there, I went only pure intuition. And even that had some really dramatic and cool results, but it also did allow for some financial stress. You hear from actors like Riz Ahmed and other people beyond, evidently the industry leads to struggle. You know, there's difficulty even at the highest level. People who've often done well, they have played both games. It's like the AI engineer who also wants to be a rock star. That is, I find, for most people, where the pinnacle of success really lies. But be willing to listen to intuition and definitely leave time and leave room to honor your hunches. Through that, you will do well. One thing that's been incredibly helpful in this regard for me is to sleep enough to take naps. And then after a nap or after a period of some sort of in-between state between conscious and subconscious, you write down all your thoughts. You do a brainstorming session and you see what it comes up with. And often you'll find tasks that you can tap into that'll get you a really, really dramatic result. So that's something that's powerful that you can strive to do. Idea number three, gratitude and don't blow it. There's a weird feeling that begins to overtake you when momentum starts to come. It's almost like it's a giddiness. It's too good to be true. And you feel like you kind of want to ruin it. I feel like that's kind of a weird way to describe it, but that is something that happens. You feel this motivation to almost ruin it, to ruin your success. And that's because equilibrium is hard to maintain and excellence is hard to maintain. Find if I start to be internally and externally excellent for any period of my life, like if I get to like 10, 11, 12 days of semen retention, and on top of that, I'm meditating and I'm just living well and I'm getting stuff done, that sense of being invisible to the world, it starts to slip away. It's like I start to matter again. But because I'm starting to matter, all these forces start to creep in that just like get in the way. Like they just mess up your stuff. And that's something that you don't want to do. You don't want to engage with. You don't want to slip. Part of the reason people sabotage is just pure temptation and giving into that. But part of it is that they're afraid of being too successful. Like they're afraid of being too on top. It's a narrow path to walk. And it can be overwhelming to people. You know, it can be overwhelming to potentially book that big job. It can like scare you. It can be, feel like too good to be true. Effectively, what this means, what you should try to do is to not find anything to be a big deal. Like operate internally as if it doesn't matter at all. Even if $1 million client showed up to you next week, you'd just be like, oh, cool. Literally, someone could pay $1 million invoice to you and you'd just be like, all right, whew, cool, relax. It doesn't freak you out. You could win the Powerball lottery and you're just like, it doesn't change what I'm going to do. Might just ease certain things up, speed up certain elements, might smooth things over a bit, but whew, I'm relaxed. I'm still a disciplined, focused person. I don't blow money. I'm relaxed. In the Bhagavad Gita, one of the things that is over and over again touted, I mean, if I could sum up that whole thing, that whole text into one regard, is just a love of equilibrium. It's a love of staying relaxed, not ever thinking that you're a big deal or that you're in poverty. Just relaxed, focused excellence, reliably, over and over again, day in, day out, no matter how things are going. You could be on top of the world and you just don't think of yourself as a big deal. You could be in the slums and you realize if I just keep going, if I keep doing this thing, eventually I'll come back. Things will come back to equilibrium. I monitor this internal excellence and I try to keep it in all regards. A great way to tap into this is just to stay grateful. You stay grateful, you love your life. You love what you have right now. You're okay with it if you don't get anything more. This is a hard sort of position to achieve, but you more or less know that you're gonna be fine. Everything is great. I have my health, I have what I have in my life. Things are gonna be good. I'm just relaxed, I'm pushing forward, I'm getting things done. You don't wanna be like one of those basketball players or rock stars or film stars who make so much money, but then end up being broke. They end up getting in debt. That's something that happens all the time because people give in to the volatility of the industry that they're in. But for the person who's consistent, who's disciplined, because this whole video is about sort of like an energetic discipline and staying on top of that. If you can stay in that state, even when you make it, even when things hit for you, just stay relaxed. You never lose it then. Having heat is a profound place to be. You only get to keep it if you stay in tune with excellence. Without that, everything begins to fail. People take on good virtues as a result of entering a crisis. But when the crisis ends, do you have the capacity to stay in the same regard? Can you manage to keep that discipline and keep that hunger even when success returns? That is what it means to be in tune with the energy of money. And that will make you a star. Greatness is coming. And we'll catch you in the next one.